Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Ki Lala Kol podcast. God willing, the Shabbos will be reading from Parshat Vayishlach. And toward the beginning of Parshat Vayishlach, Yaakov is preparing to encounter and perhaps even battle his brother Esav. After emerging from the house of Laban after 20 plus years, completely whole, never a dull moment for Yaakov, now he has to be ready for this encounter and perhaps battle with Esav. But before doing so, during his elaborate preparations, Yaakov first encounters and battles a mysterious Ish, a mysterious man. The Torah tells us that while Yaakov was alone at night, he was attacked and he wrestled with the Ish until the break of dawn. And as the battle is about to conclude, Yaakov, interestingly, he grabs onto this man, who we generally assume to be the heavenly protector, the ministering angel of Esav, and Yaakov refuses to let him depart unless he first grants Yaakov a bracha. So there's an interesting give and take. This man asks Yaakov, what is your name? He says, Yaakov. He says, you're not going to be called Yaakov anymore. You're going to be called Yisrael. And actually, later on in the parsha, Hashem actually echoes this decision, and Yaakov's name was formally altered. Now, the Piazetzner Rebbe, in his Sefer Eish Kodesh, he extracts two beautiful points, and he does so by asking two interesting questions. Number one, he says, "V'navina." Let's try to understand. Lamaya tzarich Yaakov avinu shesarosh leisav yivarcho. Why was it necessary for Yaakov to ask for a blessing from this Sar Shal Esav, this ministering angel, this heavenly protector of Esav? Halo kfar bircho Hashem. After all, Hashem has already given Yaakov brachot, right? If you think about the context, Yaakov is in the middle of a battle, and he's somehow able to overcome this enemy, and you would imagine that it would be great to dispatch him immediately. The guy wants to leave. Why are you holding him back? Maybe he's going to want to fight with you again. And on top of it, what is he even going to give to you? Hashem has already given promises. He's given guarantees. He's given brachot to Yaakov. What exactly is this person going to add that he doesn't already have, especially in the context of such a dangerous circumstance? And second, umashalo hamalach mashimcha haim lo yada ach et shimo, right? What is this whole give and take about what's your name? He tells him it's Yaakov. Now it's going to be Yisrael. What's going on over there? So the Piazetzner Rebbe, the Eish Kodesh, he tells us the following. He says, avon laseh avot siman lebanim. We have to remember that in Sefer Bereishit, it's always, 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 we have to look at things through the context, through the lens of maaseh avot siman lebanim, that which took place, that which was experienced by the Avot, by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Really, that was a siman, that was foreshadowing, that was telling us what the Jewish people are going to experience later on in their lives. And he says, V'achar shenipgash im hamalach, v'yeyavekimo, v'gam nagab kaf yirecho, yirtzeh hamalach lelechet. If you remember in the story, so they fight valiantly, he's able to somehow damage Yaakov in his hip socket, but ultimately Yaakov is able to overcome, and then he wants to leave. So Amar Yaakov, ha'im kazo ye'ra lebanai? Is this how things are going to play out in the future? If this is ma'aseh avot siman lebanim, this is an indicator of things to happen in the future. Is this what's going to happen to my children? She'achar she'yizbelu tzarot, that after that they go through difficulties and distress, upka'im, and damage, and suffering, tehei zot yeshuatam, this is going to be their salvation? Mashalo yachlu sonehem lahem lo naflu bidehem, right? That ultimately, at the end of the suffering, the only thing that they gain is that they stop suffering, that all the sadness comes to an end, it comes to a conclusion. And they're just going to go back to their status before they were attacked, before they were suffering. He says, lo chain, it can't be. It can't be. I can only allow you to go. I can only allow this episode to end if there is a bracha at the end. That after the suffering, after this battle, after this match, which again is foreshadowing all sorts of terrible tragedies that will befall the Jewish people, it's only acharei yisrim yoshiim Hashem b'yeshua. It has to be that there is a salvation at the end of that tunnel. Lo rak sheyitpatru mitzarotehem b'levad. Not just that it comes to a conclusion. Meaning, the Eish Kodesh points out, and this was on November 25th, 1939, in the middle of the Warsaw Ghetto, he points out that this is an example of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. That which happens to the Avot is a sign of what's to come for their children. And Yaakov, by asking for a bracha, was establishing an imperative precedent for his descendants. Yaakov said to himself, it can't be that this is what's going to happen to my descendants, that they're going to suffer pain, they're going to suffer tragedies, and their only salvation is that their enemies don't completely defeat them, that after struggling to escape the evil hands that were bent and so focused on destroying them that ultimately they're going to go back to where they were before. He refused to allow that to happen. And therefore, he didn't release that angel until he was able to receive a bracha. Meaning, Yaakov needed to know that after he and eventually the Jewish people in the future, that after they would suffer at the hands of all sorts of terrible enemies, all sorts of unspeakable tragedies, nevertheless, they would not just continue to limp away, just barely surviving. Instead, at the end of the suffering, at the end of the fighting, at the end of the injury, there had to be something great. There had to be a yeshua, there had to be bracha that would would follow. And he asks for an assurance that when the Bnei Yisrael have Yisurim, when they suffer, when there are afflictions, it should always lead to bracha at the end, and not just the end of Yisurim. Okay, the Yisurim happen and then they stop. No, there always has to be a bracha. There also has to be a Yeshua, or at least the beginning of a salvation and a showering of bracha. Now, if you think about it, that's already a beautiful idea. But the Pizetzin Rebbe, he continues. And remember, he's telling this to them specifically in the middle of the Warsaw Ghetto in 1939. So what happens? The Ish says, fine, what's your name? He says, your name is Yaakov. Now it's going to be Yisrael. The Rebbe explains that this is very important as well. He says, Ramaz HaMalach Lo. Malach was trying to hint to Yaakov, Ki sarita im Elokim im anashim atuchal. Why does he call him Yisrael? Ki sarita. Because usually we translate it as because you strove with Elokim, with some sort of godly being, and with people, vatuchal, and you overcame them. But he says sarita is also milashon sar. It comes from a language of sar, of an officer, of a noble person, of royalty. Mikodem sarita v'achar kach vatuchal. He says, look at the order. It's very important here. He says, ki sarita, because you were like a prince. You were like royalty even before Vatuchal, even before you were able to overcome your enemy. Gam Kodem Vatuchal. Even before the victory, you were a prince the entire time, even while you were being attacked. You were noble and you were royal even during the suffering. Gam Kishayut Sarwatech Rabot, even when you were going through so much tragedy, so much difficulty, so much pain and suffering. Even if it was Rabot Me'od, Gam Kain Sarita, you still were a prince the entire time. You carried yourself in a regal and a royal way. Lo Nafaruchacha Bekirbecha. You didn't despair. You didn't lose hope. Rak gam az hayita bikir b'chasar. Always and always, at least internally, if not externally as well, you carried yourself. You didn't despair. You were always royal. You were always regal, even during the difficulty. It's very easy to treat yourself like royalty after you overcome the suffering. But even amid the suffering, to be a sar, to be a prince, to be a princess, that's unbelievable stuff. And that's the bracha that he gives to him over there. If you think about it, he's telling us two amazing things from this give and take. Number one, Yaakov demands, it cannot be that the Jewish people suffer for naught, that they suffer and then the suffering ends. No, suffering always has to lead to bracha. He says, I will not send you away unless you give me a bracha, because suffering for the Jewish people always has to come with a bracha at the end, with the beginning of a Yeshua, the beginning of a salvation at the end. And on top of that, what does the Ish point out? What's the bracha that he gives him on that spot? It's not necessarily the same bracha that we get each time that the Jewish people suffer throughout Jewish history, but it is a truth that existed in each one of those difficult periods of Jewish history. The Jewish people, we are always sarim, we're always noble, we're always regal, even amid the suffering. Even in our lowest of circumstances, we always carry ourselves like princes and like princesses, like b'nei and b'not melech, like royalty, always, even during the worst of circumstances. A story I heard once from Rav Moshe Weinberger during the Holocaust, so of course the Nazis, among the many terrible things that they did, they took a particularly sadistic pleasure in specifically torturing and tormenting the rabbis that were leaders of communities, they were teachers and inspiration for the Jewish people. So one time happened to be that some Nazi was beating the Kloisenberger Rebbe basically till the brink of death. And at the end, this terrible Nazi, he says to the Kloisenberger Rebbe, so do you guys really think you're still the chosen people? You're lying here in a pool of your own blood. I've beaten you to within inches of your life. Do you really think you're the chosen people? And the Rebbe says, of course I am. Of course we're still the chosen people. And he says, well, what do you mean by that? How could it possibly be that I'm up here beating you to a pulp? You're on the floor lying in a pool of your own blood and broken bones, and you're the chosen nation? And he said something that basically, as long as I'm the one down here and you're the one up there, as long as I'm not the one oppressing the innocent victims, you're the one doing that. As long as I'm on the ground, and even though I'm beaten, even though I've been beaten to a pulp within inches of my life, but I still maintained my unwavering faith, my principles, my traditions, my adherence to halacha as best as I possibly can, so then I could raise my head proudly. And I could say that, yes, we are the chosen people. Meaning, Kisarita, he was a prince. He was a king, even while he's being beaten, even in a concentration camp, even before Vatuchal, even before the liberation, even before all that ended, we were Sarim. We were princes and we were princesses. Now remember, the Ish Kodesh, he's addressing the Jewish people in the middle of the Holocaust, in the middle of the Warsaw Ghetto, and he's reminding them that even though they're experiencing difficulty, they have to remember that difficulty, pain, and suffering during Jewish history always comes to an end, and it always comes with a bracha and with a Yeshua. And unfortunately, while he was able to promise that there would be a light at the end of the tunnel, the Rebbe himself and many of his Hasidim, they didn't make it through the war. They were unable to see that bracha. But there's no doubt that Jewish history dictates that bracha did emanate even from the ashes of the Holocaust. I can't tell you exactly how, I can't tell you exactly why, I can't tell you if it was worth it or not worth it, but I can tell you that there was bracha at the end of that, whether it's been realized or it will be realized later. We don't know. But Yaakov made sure very early on, Maaseh Avot Siman LeBanim, when we go through pain, when we go through suffering, there's always bracha, there's always Yeshua at the end. And it's such an important idea. Top of that, he told the Jewish people, even though you're in pain and even though you're in suffering, we're still B'nai Melech. We're still B'nai Melech. We're still regal. We're still royal. Even before Vatuchal, even before it ends, even before we overcome, Kisarita, we are princes and we are princesses. And we act and behave in a certain way, even amid the difficult circumstances. And we can lift our heads high when we live a life of unwavering faith, when we live a life committed to Hashem's Torah Mitzvot, even in the most difficult of circumstances, we are princes just like Yaakov was. Kisarita, we were princes, we were regal, we were royal, we were nobility, even during the most difficult times. It's such a beautiful idea and so powerful when you think about the context within which it was delivered, but it's important for us to hear it as well, because again, we're still reeling. We're still in the middle of a war, even though there's been a little bit of a break, and thank God some hostages have been returned, but we're still dealing with the massacres of Shmini Atzeret of this year. We're dealing with the subsequent war and all of its attendant horrors, and it reminds us of Yaakov wrestling with that angel. And when we think about the global rise in anti-Semitism, it reminds us that the Jewish people, we continue to face adversity just like Yaakov had to face adversity. But the resilience and the nobility that was exhibited by the Jewish individuals during those dark times, whether it was Yaakov in this mysterious ish, whether it was the Rebbe, the Piazetzner Rebbe talking to his Hasidim, we know that no matter what that difficult period presented, nevertheless, they were resilient, they were noble, and we know that we have to carry ourselves like Sarim, like princes, like princesses that we truly are. And on top of that, just like we know that we have the responsibility, and we always will act like nobility, like regal and royal, even amid difficult times, we also know that the end of the suffering, there will be bracha and there will be Yeshua. I can't tell you what it is, can't tell you when it will come, I can't tell you whether it's worth it, but I can promise you this, that Maaseh Avot Siman LeBanim, Yaakov demanded that Jewish suffering always ends with bracha, it always ends with Yeshua. So it's going to come, we know. Even in the face of affliction, the Jewish spirit remains unbroken. And from the ashes, even of the Holocaust, but from the difficulty of all the suffering, all the pain, all the persecutions, we know that blessing and salvation will emerge. It's a promise. And we have to hone our vision at times to really see it, right? And I can't always tell you again that it's worth it. I can't tell you that it has come, it will, but I can tell you it will come. I can tell you that. And it may not always feel that it provides us with any real consolation, with any real nechama, but we have to remind ourselves. And it will help us if we remind ourselves that there are always bracha and Yeshua at the end. It will allow us to carry ourselves as sarim, as princes and as princesses. So unfortunately, these are painful lessons to remind ourselves of, but they're important lessons. And we have to keep them in mind at all times, especially amid this difficult period of time in the land of Israel. So as we confront the challenges of today in the state of Israel, the global anti-Semitism, even outside the state of Israel, we have to remember the legacy of Yaakov's struggle. And we have to remember that the Eish Kodesh's teaching, and hopefully that will inspire some sort of, make us feel a little bit better, a little, give us the motivation that we need to somehow power through. It'll give us a steadfast commitment to maintaining our dignity and our faith. And we know that we have this assurance that ultimately there will be bracha, there will be Yeshua at the end. And God willing, if we keep these messages in mind, we'll merit the speedy end of the suffering, and we will truly, truly, truly celebrate not just the end of the suffering, but we will celebrate the fact that we were majestic, that we were noble throughout the process. And on top of that, we will celebrate the great bracha and Yeshua that will come at the end of the suffering. May we see it soon. Shabbat Shalom.